Gordon, W2, Tango, Tango, Tango. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency 146.835 MHz. The 2-meter repeater of the Venture Crew 7373 Amateur Radio Club. PL is 151.4. 151.4. The repeater covers Bergen County, although it is a few hundred yards into Rockland. Covers northern New Jersey, New York City, the lower Hudson Valley, southwestern Connecticut. All stations are welcome to participate in this net. It's a net about having a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, natural sciences, and arts that underlie our beautiful hobby, and of course, our operational experiences and an opportunity to exchange items through for sale, swap, or wanted requests. You can do any combination of those things. We'd also like you to check in, even if you're not actively participating, because we'd like to know who the audience is, so please do check in. We won't pick on you, I promise. We don't bite. We'll go from there. Alrighty. Let's get going here. Any stations with a call sign beginning with the letter Whiskey, and please call with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. Please call W2TTT.
Whiskey Alpha 2, India Sierra Echo, Bob, and, well, no comment. I already said it. Anyway, back to net.
Okay, Bob, very good. Any other whiskeys?
WP2, TQT, Art, also in Oradell.
Good evening, Art. Welcome aboard.
Oh, but
any other stations, even if they are in Oradell, please call and have more than three letters in their name. Or have three letters in a name. I'm just teasing. W2TTT. Or K2BAR for that matter. Okay, how about November stations? Okay, how about Kilo?
November stations, it was late here. Can I break in?
QVH said, you're acknowledged. What are your intentions, sir?
My intentions are to, listen, I have nothing to add at this point. Back to that control.
Sandbagging is allowed. We just would like people to check in. That's all we ask. All right. So far we have three of you. All have three-letter colloquial names, which I think is hilarious. I guess you could use my first name, Jim, as Jim, because my first name is James, even though I'm called Gordon. Maybe we call it the three-letter net. I guess it's better than four-letter word net, but anyway. Any other Novembers? Okay, how about more kilos, or any kilos? Alrighty. How about Alpha stations? I was kind of hoping Ali would show up. That would have another three-letter station. Anyway. Alrighty. Any other stations on the Echo Link, on the KD2BKD Echo Link? Okay, back to the repeater. Anybody on the repeater? Alrighty. Anybody have any topics for tonight? Oh, boy. Okay, it's one of those kind of nights. All right, so I guess I'll start. So the other day, had an interaction with, nice conversation, actually, with WW2 Victor Echo Hotel. You might not know Fred, although you might not. You might. Fred lives out in Califon, West Jersey, out in Hunterdon County, and among his hobbies are military vehicles, and he's got quite a collection of things that you can actually drive on the street, which is a good thing. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about tracked vehicles and things like that, but he does a couple of deuce and a halves and other goodies like that, and smaller vehicles, and some generator trailers. I don't know if he's got a comp shelter. He doesn't have a comp shelter, which is kind of amazing. We'll probably have to work on that. And the like. But he has had on his property a really nice tower, but it had a, the house had been occupied by a ham previously, and the big tower, which is over 100 feet, big triagonal self-supporting thing, had a tri-bander that had to be taken down, or has to be taken down, and replaced by a new element, a new antenna, which he has. He has this beautiful, you know, large Mosley antenna. I forget, it's a huge number of elements, and just monstrous. It's going to go up on the tower, but he wants something for 20 15 antenna, as well as the upper work bands. So, with that in mind, he's going to have that, but he wants something now for 160 and 80, 40, probably 60 meters as well. So he decided that since he has this very tall tower that provides an excellent counterpoise, plus he'll have the top hat of a tri-bander that is operating at DC ground, I think. Maybe not. That antenna's not DC ground feed point, now I think about it. But anyway, it'll act as a great top hat. He's going to have the privilege of having a DXA. It's a DX Engineering, actually not DX Engineering. It's an Alpha Delta antenna. It's Alpha Delta antenna. He bought it from DX Engineering. And the antenna basically is a quarter wave sloper, with the tower itself providing the other half, if you will, the counterpoise. And so it's interesting in that it's a two-legged sloper. And in order to make it reasonable and not cause excessive interactions, they should be as close to 180 degrees apart as possible. So it looks like an inverted V from the ground, but in reality, it's two different quarter waves. And they are trap fed, so one leg is 67 feet, and one is, one's a loading coil, one's a trap, depending on which leg you're talking about. But one is a 67-foot long wire, and the other one is a 60-foot long wire, which is very fine. And I guess they're end-fed halfways now, I think. Is that right? No. I'm not sure, actually, but I was looking through it, and it looks very tempting. And I guess if your tower is about 60 feet or more, I mean, the minimum height for the feed point, the top, is 35 feet. That's what they recommend. But if you've got the room and you've got a tower, you might want, or some other thing, there's actually provisions for installing it with a vertical counterpoise to a ground rod as well. But if you have a way to do that, you could actually hang this thing off of a mast or whatever, even if you didn't have a tower. So I thought that was a cool antenna. DX-A, it's made by Alpha Delta, and it's a, again, it's a 160, 80, 40, and 60-meter antenna. I think that's right. I spoke prematurely. I think is going to be for two of the bands, the other is for two of the bands, that means they're both traps, and that's just a simple loading coil. So you might want to take a look at that. The manual for it is online. The installation manual is online as well. So, you know, just take a look at that. And I think most of, I don't know if any of you were sandbagging on the previous net, but I got myself some protective rain gear today. And if no one heard it, or not everybody, I think Bob heard it, and I don't know if the other guys, and Ken heard it, I guess, as well. So I can spare you guys a repeat of that. So, anybody have any experience with slopers, off-center fed dipoles, quarter wave slopers, any number of things, you know, with and without tuners. Anybody have any thoughts on this?
WB2TQT, I do.
Oh, Art, you're my savior.
Okay. I forgot to mention before that I actually had a question, but it kind of slipped my mind. I'm used to the 2-meter net where, you get two go-around rounds and you get to mention things, so It always slips my mind. But anyhow, yeah, I have a mask up on top of my roof that's about 20 foot. And because of where it was located, kind of central to my lot, and I have 135-foot inverted V dipole half-wave, and one end goes down to a fence post on my neighbor's property, and the other one goes into a tree. It's tied onto a tree, and it works very well. It's off-center fed with a RG-213, I believe, from what I... Yeah, RG-213. Works very well. I operate 6 through 80 with an antenna tuner, and it works very well. But I didn't get a chance to write down the antenna you were talking about there, Gordon. And I'm looking in the IDX engineering catalog, so I see the different antennas that they have there. But anyhow, my other question was, I wonder if anybody knows where I can buy aluminum pipe. I want to use it for a mask on a new tower that I have. And I used to get it from Emerson Fence. They used to carry aluminum pipe years ago, but I called them and they no longer carry it. I see it's on the internet, but you know, you gotta ship it freight, and the freight will kill you. And to make matters even worse, I like Schedule 80 instead of Schedule 40, but if anybody has an idea where to look in North Jersey, would appreciate a comment. Back to Nick Control.
I do have an answer to that. Metal warehouse, no, metal supermarket in Fairfield.
Would they stock it?
If they don't have it, they can literally get it in a day or two. I walked in there with a chunk of mast for my small tower. It's basically the top of a heights tower, but it's got a substandard, you know, mast diameter size. I forget what it was, but it's something goofy small. So it's got the tapered top. And so what I did was I took a chunk of the mast that I had and said, I need a piece of this as long as you can give it to me. And they said, oh, let's see if we have it. Walked outside, said, yep, we got it. You know, actually at their warehouse, and yanked it out, and with so many dollars a foot, I didn't care. I said, thank you very much. Put it on top of my little car at the time, and away we went. And, I didn't need the heavy load, I needed height.
Okay. Give me metal, what is metal warehouse?
I think it's metal supermarket. I started to say warehouse, but I think it's metal supermarket. Hold on. They're in Fairfield, off of Fairfield Road.
Yeah, I got Fairfield, and I got metal supermarket, so I'll look them up.
Yeah, but I gotta say, they couldn't be nicer. I don't know, but it seems to me like it's a franchise. But there's actually apparently one down in Edison, and it doesn't seem to be the same business exactly. But, you know, they have all kinds of stuff, different materials, and, you know, it's right near the Red Cross building down there off of Fairfield Road. Basically, it's between Fairfield Road and the airport, but west of New Dutch Lane.
Okay, I got an idea where that is. Well, I used to order a lot of metal when I was working for pieces of machinery that we were manufacturing. And I used to deal with Ryerson, and I have an old Ryerson metal warehouse catalog with all the stock sizes, and it doesn't seem as though they're in business anymore, so I don't know. There used to be another big metal warehouse down in was that? Probably just north of Kearney. Forget the name of the road. But they all seem to be gone, so I'll give this a try. You know, there are plenty of places on the internet where you can buy it, but the shipping will just kill you.
Yeah. So I'm going to take the trouble of reading two of the reviews that kind of reflect my own personal experience rather just babbling along here. I'm going to read two reviews real quick. I've been toying with a DIY project and had no idea how I would build a custom metal piece. Then I saw a TV commercial for the metal supermarket that said no project too small. So I showed up on a Saturday and I showed them my two small brackets. They helped me choose the metal gauge. They cut it to size, drilled the holes, and had it to me in 30 minutes at a great price. That's kind of my experience. That's kind of reflective of my experience and how they kind of talked to me. Although I actually bought the mask. I bought some other stuff too. But I didn't have any to do any cutting or anything. Every time I go there, they are helpful in recommending the right material for the jobs that I'm working on. And they have that material in stock and at reasonable pricing. Even for my small projects, it's worth the trip instead of buying the expensive, overpriced, low-quality metals at Lowe's and Home Depot. Another one, and that's a brief one. Awesome place. Stop by with my father to get some last-minute pieces for a boat project. They took us back into the shop and told us to pick what we would like to get the job done. They got the pieces right there for us on the spot. Spoke to their head fabricator, Andy, who, by the way, I dealt with. And it was just absolutely wonderful. It happened to be for another boat, and he said just to bring the boat by on the trailer, and they would help measure and then cut and bend the other piece I needed. Think about that, guys. You'll bring your boat into the driveway. We'll measure what you got, and we'll fabricate one just like it for you. And by the way, the guy Andy, he's awesome, and he just works there. I mean, he's not even the owner manager guy. So it was really good.
The other thing I'll mention, Gordon, I have purchased in the past a rigid wall aluminum conduit, and dimensionally it's the same thing as pipe, both the ID and OD. And to my knowledge, aluminum conduit is only available on Schedule 40, which is about approximately an eighth of an inch thick wall thickness. I'd like to go to Schedule 80, which is about 3/16 wall thickness. And the other problem with the electrical conduit, they always come in 10-foot stock lengths, and I don't know if you can get other lengths, so... That's what I've done in the past, but now I'm looking for something better. Back to net.
Okay. So, yes. Couple of things. My main mast on my tower is a 24-foot piece of Schedule 80. In fact, it may not even be 6061T6. It may be something harder. You know, less likely to bend. It is a beast. And as I mentioned to you before, I don't have it much into the tower, too, which is awful, but it's hard on rotators because I only have a single bearing. But anyway, the other thing is that conduit not only tends to be cut off at 10-foot lengths, but it's seamed, and you can't use seamed stuff for masting, not long anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if the piece that I, well, the piece that I had lasted many, many years. I don't know how it's seamed, or whether it is seamed, but I never saw a seam in it, but it did hold up. But it's probably not equivalent to, you know, like a 6061, which is, and then some have temper added to them. They add a T after it, and they put a temper in it. So that would be ideal, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wishing for too much, but I'll check out this metal supermarket in Fairfield. Maybe he can give me some leads. It's a shame all the metal warehouses seem to be gone, at least in North Jersey. I guess that's because the oil industry left this area, so I'll look. Okay, back to net. Thank you, Gordon.
Yeah, I just went to their website, and let me get past the cookies thing here and such, but you can browse metals on their service, on their website. You can browse their services. I guess it is a, I don't know if it's a chain or if it's a franchise or what, but I get the impression, I get the impression it's a, you know, it might be a franchise because the guy who was Andy's boss was very, very helpful, and as well as Andy. Andy was unbelievably helpful, but the bosses there on Saturday, and they were, you know, they were busting their butt. I mean, they were working hard, and they had a couple of guys working in there. I think you're right. A lot of places do leave or have left downturn in manufacturing. They have hot rolled steel, cold rolled steel, and aluminum. And they have more. What else? Stainless steel, alloy steel, brass, bronze, copper, galvanized steel, tool steel. Yeah, this is a place that could be very bad to know. And I've been there. But again, they stock what people tend to want to buy. At the same time, you know, if you order it online or request a quote, I know for a fact they will get back to you the very next day.
Okay. I'll give it a try. The thing that usually makes it difficult with dealing with metal warehouses, I don't know if it sounds like they're more like a store than a metal warehouse. When you deal with a metal warehouse, usually everything comes in 24 months, and God forbid you ask them to cut it because the cutoff charge is quite expensive too. So let's see. We'll check it out. What do I got to lose?
Well, I know the mast I bought was more than 20 feet. I'm almost sure of it. And God knows the mast on my tower is, but the mast on my tower I got from another ham years ago. It's 24 feet. As I mentioned to you, it's only like a foot or so into the tower, maybe 16, 18 inches at the most into the tower, so it's pretty brutal. But no, the cutting services are really good, and their prices are reasonable. They really are, you know, from what I've been seeing, reading, et cetera. So, and oh, by the way, they will deliver. But, you know, it's a place where you can obtain the material you want, not have to worry about massive freight charges, but just coming in on in a tractor trailer to them, you know, along with a bunch of other stuff. So the unit cost of delivery is not like having, you know, it delivered and directly to your place. But, you know, from, you know, East Jibib, I mean, it's like very frustrating. Texas Towers was great to work with, but man, the freight charges will kill you unless you bought things, you know, 6 foot or length, 6 foot or shorter, and that's a pain in the ass too. So I don't want to be endlessly splicing together pieces of metal.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Yeah, well, then you wind up with a weak joint when you try splicing things together. I mean, even aluminum, rigid wall aluminum conduit, the ends come threaded, so you can put a coupling on it and attach another 10-foot section, you know, to finish up your electrical wiring job. So, and that's what I used, and it worked well, but it was a little bigger diameter than what I need now, so I'll have to search check out this metal supermarket and see what else I can find. Most of these steel warehouses are all gone from this area, Gordon. I have catalogs of, you know, their stuff. Ryerson, I have their complete catalog, and I try calling all the phone numbers in it. They're all disconnected, so I guess they moved out of state. So, all right, sounds good. Thank you, Gordon. This is WB2TQT for ID.
Yeah, well, like anything else, you know, these guys are in business to offer material at a reasonable price, along with, you know, some essential services for some people. That's really handy. I mean, I'm looking at their aluminum page here. Round bar, flat rectangular, you know, stock, you know, bars and square bar, hexagonal bar, channels in various kinds, you know, U-channel, various kinds, or C-channel, I-beams, angles, sheets, expanded metal, you know, the little grates, perforated metal, tread plate, pipes, round tube, which is different, square tube, rectangular tube, plates, you know, all kinds of stuff, and that's just the aluminum section. I mean, you know, you want to build something, just go buy it. You know, if you're not sure how to weld it, I mean, just curious, Art, do you weld aluminum?
I have in the past. I've dabbled with it with oxyacetylene and rods that are specifically designed for that. But I don't have a TIG welder or a MIG welder. I never had enough of it to justify purchasing that. You can also weld aluminum with a stick welder, which aluminum electric. Actually try that. I actually had a guy do some aluminum stick welding. It's a very sloppy weld. Not anything as nice as a MIG, or doesn't even come close to a TIG weld. That's like sheer perfection. But I don't know how they do it, but during World War II, there were no such things as tungsten inert gas welders, TIG welders. And all those World War II planes were welded together with oxyacetylene, so the guys really knew their stuff, but I haven't done enough of practice with it to really feel confident with it. I've tried it with regular aluminum rods, and I usually wind up putting too much heat into it, and what I get is I get instead of a weld, I get a puddle of molten aluminum, and I ruin the piece. Back to net.
Yeah, I know the feeling. By the way, there's another location down in Edison, which is not very far. I'm down there all the time, in that general direction. The next two of those locations are Albany and Baltimore. There's this location in Beltsville, Maryland. There's another one in Boston. Those are the six closest stores to me, anyway. Which, yeah, are to you guys, too. But they have locations all over the country, it looks like. Three locations in Atlanta, and a couple of more stations in Baltimore, in the South and the West, Buffalo, and, you know, all kinds of locations. So I'm thinking this is a franchise, but I'm not sure. Let me see if there's an about. Yeah, here we go. You know, about us. Let's go read about these people. How they're organized. B-plus locations, so they're not a small company. So I think what's happening is this. By virtue of the fact they have these smallish outlets, they very well may be a franchise, who knows. But by virtue of that, they can do large buys, but they guarantee a certain level of business from the manufacturers and or the importers that they buy from. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, their services include standard stuff, cutting, hearing, and punching. I mean, you know, that's, you know, can't ask for more than that. You know, I could very easily see that you could come in with a, you know, with a template, and you say, here, you know, drill on this template, thank you very much, you know, and away you go. And, you know, reading the reviews, whatever the fees were, they were very reasonable. And based on the amount of money I spent for the material I got, I wasn't unhappy. I was quite happy.
Well, I'll give them a shot. I got nothing to lose, and they're not that far from me. So, you know, maybe even if they don't have something, maybe they can point me in the right direction.
Well, there's a, you know, there's a quote tab on their main page, so you could put together what you might want from their catalog of stuff, and they'll reach out to you and send you a quote. They'll probably email it back to you.
Yeah, well, I have my computer on, but I don't have it next to me, so I have it in the other room, so I'll check out their website. Is it metalsupermarket.com or something like that?
Yeah, if you metalsupermarkets.com.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Yeah, other than that, you know, years ago, even the scrap yards, they used to have stuff, and the one that I used occasionally to find metal in Bergenfield, they tell me they don't hold on to stuff anymore. You know, comes in and then it goes out, and so if you're looking for a piece of metal, and there's a couple of machine shops that I used to deal with years ago, they're still in business, but I know he's not gonna have pipe. You know, that's not the type of thing machine shops usually deal with, and if they do, it's, you know, not going to be 12 or 20 foot length. But who knows? Maybe, you know, he might have solid rod. I wouldn't want that. Would be able to lift it. So I'll keep looking, Gordon, and I'll check out that metalsupermarkets.com.
NJ2BS. Repeat.
W2TTT, T2B air. All right, very good. I think, you know, if you want to save yourself a car ride, you need to have an idea of something you actually really do want. You know, just put in a request for a quote and go from there. That might be intriguing as to what they come up with. Anyway. Anyway, alrighty, WB2TQT, anybody else from K2B Air? KM2G, you're a little noisy, Andrew.
I got caught up in errands down the shore, and I'm on my way off the turnpike now, and I've been listening to the metal shop talk since about Old Bridge is when the repeater started to be copyable, but must be about Linden now.
Yeah, okay, well, the end of that transmission was better than the beginning, so you're coming into the pattern. Alrighty. Very, very good. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if we may be closing up shop pretty soon. Anybody else have any topics? Spring, I'm gonna make, and every element, by, you know, 06 diameters, but half inch, thin wall tubing, and 6 foot different lengths. I'll have to buy 20 of them. And why am I going to buy 20? Because, well, half of every element except for one or two are broken because they've been stressed because they used to have pigeons sitting on them. They broke the dang thing piece by piece. It broke my heart. But every one of the insulators is in good shape. All the stainless hardware is in good shape, holding everything. And while I do have an on, you know, a spec sheet that I downloaded somewhere, found online, it's, I certainly have a reference template for every element intact. So I'm going to replace them all and, you know, sit there with a tubing cutter and just go cut, 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 and replace all 20 pieces, bolt it back together and hoist it up on the tower. It's going to be pretty darn awesome. It will be, it's ridiculously sharp, but it's a lot of fun. Big antenna. I mean, a really big antenna. In any case, looking forward to having that up and working. And that's going to be my next big, big antenna project around here. Just FYI, it's the KLM design has four driven elements. It basically runs extensively, for lack of a better term. Basically, it runs with a you know standard Swan feed, you know, a log periodic feed. So four driven elements, each of which has a 200 ohm characteristic impedance, reduces down to 50 ohms balance, and then there's a balance on it. So the one thing I do have to do is check to see if the balance is still intact. But building a balance, you know, there's, if you remember, the KLMs were tubular balance. And so I'll be doing that. And the worst case is I'll take the tubular balance apart, put it back together, clean it up. Because the parts will be fine. You have to probably just hit it with, you know, if it's screwed up, I'll just pull it apart with a torch and put it back together. It's not a big deal. Because I believe it's, I believe that's copper pipe or copper tubing. Anybody have any experience with changing out metal balance? Alrighty. Any other check-ins for the net? Okay, anybody have any final comments before we secure? Well, thank you, everybody. And Art, thank you for that wonderful question. What a great thing. You know, building materials for antennas, what a concept. And by the way, a smaller antenna project I'm thinking of pondering here is a vertical. Actually, I will take a minute before I secure the net. Woody, AK2F, has a dipole near his house for 40 meters. And he's just getting so much noise at 40 meters? Yeah, 40 meters. He's getting so much noise on that band from household devices. It's just killing him. So he simply hung 58 feet of wire, 68 feet in the air. So the feed point is about 10 feet off the ground. He has to use a ladder to get to the feed point. He used a variable capacitor and a variable inductor in a metal box strapped to a tree. Three radials at 10 feet in the air so no one gets choked. And it literally is the wire hanging up in the tree. And it, by virtue of the fact that it's away from the house about 50 feet, it was dramatically quieter noise floor. Just a dramatic difference. And even though he's comparing a dipole to a vertical, by and large, irrespective of things, his dipole is pretty much like an inverted V in places. So, you know, he was chugging along and comparing, and he says he's able to copy things on the vertical. He can't copy on the dipole, and not the other way around, because the noise floor is lower. And he said about 30 feet from the house is all he had to do is get it away. But yeah, it was more convenient to mount it further out. So I was thinking, despite the fact that I have all these vertical things in my yard called, you know, towers, I might be able to stick a vertical, probably not 58 feet, but maybe 43 feet, but put a flag-like element on the top, essentially, like an inverted L, do that, to get a full half wave on 40 meters. And where the three radials go doesn't really much matter, but I have room for, I have a 4x4 post toward the back of my property, and I could go back another 20 feet with a radial and then have it turn left or right along the property line to get the short radial in, and the other two I could, run into my garage and run across my pergola and no one ever see it. So that'd be fine too. Just keep it away from the house. Keep even the radials away from the house. But I may be tempted to try that. In my case, I'll probably use like the bottom of an old Hustler vertical. The 4BT or 5BTV or something like that. I'll use that as the base. But instead of putting a bunch of trapped elements, I'll just make it a straight up aluminum tube. If I pick my tubing gauges correctly, I could probably get to 58 feet. They just have to think about whether or not I want to guy it, or do I want to just say screw it, make it 43 feet or something in between, or even load it. Anyway, we'll see you all later if anyone doesn't have any comments. Anyway, everybody have a good night, and we'll chat later. It's been fun. This is KTBAR W2TTT Securing the Net, and probably won't make it to Fairlawn because of the upcoming New York City Marathon, but we look forward to seeing everybody next week on the net. Godspeed, W2TTT.
Are you in a hurry to get out, or do you want to hear the condensed version of the experimentation with the amplifier and the dummy load? Alright, either he was in a hurry or I'm not getting in. KC2J.
NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. NJ2BS, repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
Good morning, or good afternoon, what am I saying? W2TTT.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.
W2TTT listening.
NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat.
Well, you can comment on it. I mean, it's the most irrational thing in the world. I mean, it may be desirable. Oops, wrong frequency, W2TTT.
This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4. NJ2BS repeat. This is the NJ2BS repeater. Use PL151.4.